Yeah, those were some shots from my childhood, so thanks for checking those out. Hey, welcome here, and just a quick hello to my stepdad, Don, who's watching from home. And just so you know, if you're ever on vacation or you're sick, we stream live, and then we show the messages are available during the week as well, so be sure to check that out. So I want to show you this picture. This is actually from 25-ish years ago. And really, you see these five middle school-aged girls, but really it's the picture of Pat poking his head in that I want to point out. Now, Pat was a young man, so 25-ish or so years ago. My wife and I lived in Portland, Oregon. I was going to seminary, and we were helping a middle school ministry. And Galen and Lita were the leaders of that ministry. And they got to know Pat's parents, so they invited him to come. Now, I mention all that because, first of all middle school kids are awkward, and that's normal. There's so many things happening inside of them, around them. It's an awkward time. But Pat had special needs, and there was potentially, at the time, we wondered if there was some kind of sexual abuse in his life. But when he came, he didn't have the in clothes. He rarely combed his hair. He didn't always smell the best. So he's a middle school kid, already challenged, but then add all these others. But Galen was just an amazing man, had a huge heart, and he taught these kids to love everybody, to accept everyone. And so Pat didn't always come, but when he was there, it was kind of always on eggshells. How's everyone going to respond? They responded amazingly. It was awesome. Well, one of the days that Pat was there, Pat said, "I got a song I want to sing." And right away, Janine and I and Galen and his wife kind of locked eyes like, oh no, like this could go terribly. But Galen encouraged him. And I thought, you know what? This is going to be awesome. This is so God. This is where, the outsider, everybody kind of avoids, is going to sing, and like angels are going to fly out of his mouth, and it's going to be a moment that we remember, and he's like set apart, and we can own that and celebrate. And so I was really excited. And so he sang. It was terrible. Everything that you hoped it would not be, it was worse. It was terrible. And, just kind of like, Lord, please end the song soon. And he wanted to do the second verse. And but the song ended. And everybody was like, way to go. That was awesome. And that wasn't me and Galen and Lita leading the cheer. I was like, oh no. The students were like celebrating. And it was amazing. And it was a picture of what community can look like. Now, I tell you, Pat didn't always come. On one of the days he did not come after that, Galen looked at these middle schoolers and said, Pat is kind of a test for us. God wanted to know, are the Pats of this world welcome here? Can I send other Pats to this group? Will they be received? Will they be welcomed? And I love that story for two reasons. First, it just gives us a good reminder as a church, who we're supposed to be. How are we doing welcoming others? How are we doing with new people or regulars who maybe sometimes are a little bit challenging? Hey, first of all, just a shout out for people who are outside greeting, umbrella crew and everything. That was awesome. Way to go. Thank you. But when you think about just us as a church, what's our next step? How do we do everything possible to ensure that people are welcomed? And what it comes down to really is, what is your next step? Because it's not my job to make everyone feel welcome. It's not the greeters or the ushers. It's our job. So what is your next step? Maybe this day forward, you're going to commit to, I'm going to have lots more conversations. I'm going to connect with my friends, but I want to make a point of saying hello and having conversations with people I don't know or who are new. Or maybe your next step is, you know what, I'm going to have fewer conversations, but I'm going to go deeper. I want to, instead of just saying hi and how's it going and well, how about that weather, I want to just kind of stay there and dig a little deeper. Or maybe you're thinking, you know what, I want to help with be a greeter, or be an usher, be cafe. I want to help with the kids. You know, this second service is actually a service where we can use more of all of those. So what is your next step? Maybe it's, you know what, once a month, I want to find someone once a month. I'm going to invite someone to get some coffee after or get some lunch after. I want to do that like once a month. What is it? Let me just pause and pray for us as a church. Heavenly Father, thank you for Galen and Lita teaching Janine, teaching me, teaching these middle schoolers what it means to welcome everyone. And God, I pray for Pat, whatever he's doing now. I pray that now he's an adult, and I just pray for comfort, for courage, for strength. I pray you would use him. If he doesn't know you yet, I pray that he would. But God, I pray for us as a church, that we would be a family, a body that welcomes everyone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The second reason I like that story, right? The first is just a good reminder for us as a church. But the second reason is, you know what? We are all Pats. We've all been Pat at one point. And even if you've had a season where, you know what? Things are good. Everything's just smooth. Seasons end. I haven't had a season. I've had an occasional moment, but those end. But we're all Pats. We all have these experiences where we don't fit in, where we come in contact with others and just feel small, where we're ridiculed. And you know what? In many ways, that's normal. That's just life. But God wants us to be abnormal, right? It's normal to criticize others. It's normal to compare, you know, others. It's normal to be critical of people and the way they vote or dress or whatever. It's abnormal to welcome, to choose to love anyway. So let's be abnormal. A couple thoughts on that. One way is, I think one way God wants us to be abnormal is to have a right perspective about ourselves. Meaning when we look in the mirror, what are we seeing? And here's the thing. If we are in Christ, meaning we're a Jesus follower, meaning we've just said, God, I give up. I can't live life my way anymore. I've been working really hard at my strategy. Good days, bad days, but ultimately, there's this dead end. I give up. I surrender. Would you forgive me of my sin? Would you lead my life? If that's you, if you're in Christ, we are kids of the King. We now have an identity not based on our height, our looks, our GPA, or anything. It's based on our identity in Christ, that Jesus changes us. Because if you think about it, if we have that perspective, we can now walk around with our head up, shoulders back, or strut if you want, whatever's your thing. We can do that because of what God's done for us. But even if we have these negative thoughts or negative words from others coming our way, they don't last forever. They last 80 to 100 years tops. And that, if you're going to get 80 to 100 years, that's assuming that you are in the delivery room on the day that this person is born, and developmentally, they can't criticize you, right? Just, they don't do like, ah, wah, look at this guy, wah, wah, can you believe what he's wearing? Wah, wah. It doesn't happen, right? It's not developmentally possible. And even when you're young, right, three-year-olds, four-year-olds, you know what they like to do together? Play. And you know what? Why they play? Because it's fun. And they aren't worried about what you're wearing or who you voted for or any of this. They don't know that. Kids don't know that. Kids learn to be racist. Kids learn to criticize others. Kids learn to compare themselves with other people and to be critical. That's normal. That's normal. But God's calling us to be abnormal. And that starts with us having a right perspective on ourselves, on who we really are. Right, we need to be thick and slick. Thick skin, slick skin. Nothing penetrates, everything slides off. Doesn't mean stuff doesn't hurt. It does hurt. It sticks and stones break your bones. Names will ever hurt you. Lie! They hurt. My broken arm can heal, but my counselor is helping me with some of the other stuff, right? Those are lies. But we can more and more trade what we're hearing from others to what we're hearing from God. That's key. And that the second thing that I think God wants us to do that's abnormal is to love everybody. Always. Those three words, love everybody always, it's actually a title of a book by a guy named Bob Goff. I encourage you to check that out. It's just filled with stories of Jesus followers loving people. But love, well, who do I love? Everybody. Well, when? Always. Like, that is abnormal. That doesn't make sense. You know what's what makes that easier, loving everybody always, is remembering where we came from. Okay, I want to share a verse with you. This is the Apostle Paul writing this from Romans chapter 5. This is our story. Right? If you're a Jesus follower, this is our story. Paul says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God didn't love you because you looked good. God didn't love you because you had a special talent or you knew how to accessorize or you could split the atom or anything like that. And God loved you because you are His. You're His. And in the midst of our ugliness, He loved us. In the midst of our ugliness, God looked at us and said, He's mine. She's mine. I love him. I love her. That's what God said. That's what God is saying. And what do we do to deserve this love and affection? Nothing. According to this verse, we were the one with our backs to God going a different way. And in the midst of that, God is saying, I love them. I want them to experience my love. Here's a big idea. If you can remember nothing, remember this phrase. We can receive others. We can receive others, welcome others, show love because we remember. Receive because you remember. We can receive others because we remember who we were. And God loved us. God received us in spite of ourselves. So we can do that. But tell you what, because I like you guys, Sunday, give me a twofer. You can choose that one, or if you like this other phrasing, love because you're loved. You can choose that. All right? Big idea options. Saying the same thing, different phrases. If you don't like either of those, put your own. Fill in your own, all right? Your idea. But whatever it is, just have a big idea from this. Post it on social media, hashtag it, church was awesome today, and that'll be fun. That'll be fun. But that's what we want you to know. So let's stop being normal. Let's stop being normal. God wants us to do things that are abnormal, having a right perspective on ourselves. And you know why it's hard? Because our entire economy is built on dissatisfaction. Right? Everything, the commercials and everything says, oh, you're not good enough, but here's what I can do for you. If you drive this, if you wear that, if you take these pills, you know, whatever it is, then your life can be improved because you are not good enough. And we need to learn to turn down the volume, turn off the channel, and listen. God, what do you say about me? Because the truth is, you might be thinking, I like that car. I like that shirt. There's nothing wrong with that. But we got to know that it's not going to you know, improve our standing with God. It's not going to improve our standing with others, because the reality, the people that we're trying to impress, they don't care about us anyway. But what does God have to say? Have a right perspective about ourselves, and then love everybody always. You know, I think of love everybody always. I like Nelson Mandela's formula for this. Three steps. He says, one, have breakfast alone. Secondly, he says, share lunch with your best friends. Share lunch with your friends. But third says, invite your enemy to dinner. And technically, you could probably do that in any order. But it's the idea of have breakfast, have time alone. When you're hearing from God, when you're listening, and you can get what he's saying and tune out what everybody else is saying. But have a time when your not only soul is being fed, but your heart and emotional soul is being fed with friends who breathe life into you, so that you are fueled and ready to go after that person that drives you crazy. Not with the intent to prove him or her wrong or to show why you're right, but with the intent to love everybody always. And we can do that. We can receive others because we remember, you know what? God loved me in spite of myself. I can do the same. You know, when I say love everybody always, I'm not saying be good. because honestly, I'm tired of trying to be good. You're good, and then you're supposed to be gooder and goodest, and you know, it's tiring. Let's stop playing the game. And even the idea of, like, I'm going to try to live the Christian life. No, stop. Don't try to be a Christian. God wants us to surrender and say, I can't do this. God's like, I know. That's why I'm here. That's why I am wanting to breathe life into you. If you're old like me, you may remember a little campaign years ago, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? I actually think it's wrong. It should be, what is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing? Because the reality is, the moment we ask, we surrender to God and say, God, would you lead my life? The Holy Spirit invades us. Jesus is here with us. So what is Jesus doing in this moment? Is there a pat in my life that he's wanting me to love, to serve? You know, is there an issue in a relationship where I have to humble myself to serve the other person? That's what Jesus is doing, and he can do this through us. So let's stop trying to be Christians, and let's surrender and say, Jesus, would you live through me? I can't do this. Tim Keller talks about this. He's a pastor in New York City and writes tons of books. And he says, here's the difference between a religious person and a true Christian is that the religious person obeys God to get control over God, to get things from God, right? Views God like a slot machine. If I do these things, then hopefully God will do these things. And often those are connected, but that should not be our intent. He says instead, but the Christian obeys just to get God. That God is the focus, that God is the emphasis. Not what I want, but God, I'm trusting you. What do you want? I want to obey you because you're prompting me. You're nudging me in this direction. I want to say yes to you because I trust you. I want to say yes to you because although this is scary and this is hard, I'm believing that you're with me and you're going to empower me. So what does Jesus say with all of these things? It's easy to say, hey, receive because you remember. Love everybody always. That sounds nice, right? Fluffy, and could be in a Hallmark card. If you see that in a Hallmark card, call me. I'm going to get in touch with my lawyer to talk to them about that. But what does Jesus say? How does he interact with these issues, these challenges? We're going to look at Luke chapter 14. If you're not familiar with the Bible, you might like have this picture of this big, thick book, and like, oh, it's overwhelming. Well, the Bible is actually not this big, thick book. That is actually a collection of 66 different little books and letters and prophecies and such. So it's a collection. And we've divided them for ease to be able to function and find where things are. We call it the Old Testament, the New Testament. Testament's a fancy word for covenant or agreement. So God's old or first agreement, with Israel and the world, and God's second or new agreement with the world. And the new agreement is the life of Jesus. There's four guys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they tell Jesus' story, biographies on him. It's one of the books in this Bible. And in Luke chapter 14, he writes, "One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched." All right, so there's some key words there. Sabbath, all right, so right away they're saying, this is a day that nobody is supposed to work. And he goes to the house of a prominent Pharisee, not just Joe Average Pharisee, a prominent Pharisee. So Luke gives us that detail. And he was being carefully watched. And he's being carefully watched because Pharisees don't like Jesus. They're skeptical because Jesus is talking about these things that's different from everything that they've been taught. And see, the Pharisees had influence. They had incredible knowledge of biblical law and the ability to interpret that law. So in a sense, they were legal experts. And their biblical interpretations had direct effect on Jewish life and practices. And Jesus was changing things. So they wanted to know, how's he going to act? Is he going to heal people on the Sabbath? Because that would be wrong if he did. So they were watching him. But Luke tells us Jesus was watching them too. And he gives us a couple pictures in this chapter of how we should respond to challenging people in order for us to function as a healthy church, healthy community. So let me set the scene. See this picture on the screen? It's actually a picture from a party I hosted last night. It was awesome! Yes! So cool. But this seating, it's called a triclinium. So this three-sided table. Just imagine that being like a horseshoe, and at the top of that horseshoe in the middle, that is the place of honor. That's the most prominent seat you can have. The second most honored person, and the third would sit to the right and left of that person. The fourth and fifth, sixth and seventh, kind of down the side all the way. So you kind of knew your standing, which is a little weird, right? It's a little weird. But this is what he says. Luke writes, when Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. All right, so here's what he says. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, oh no, you can't sit here. Get up. Give this person your seat. Then humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. Instead, when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when the host comes, he will say to you, friend, no, I want to move you to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You know what Jesus is saying here? Is stop thinking so highly of yourself. Stop it. Don't walk into a room, your dorm room, the classroom, the boardroom, the living room, the church. Don't walk in like everything revolves around you. Don't do that. Instead, come with an attitude of gratitude. Come with a spirit of humility. Because when it comes to church, we have a chance to hear from God in community, to be together. We have a chance to love and serve one another. We have a chance to have a conversation with people, and those might be the first positive words they've heard all week. Your hug or handshake or pound, whatever you're comfortable with, may be the first healthy physical contact that they've had all week. We have a chance to influence and make a difference in people's lives. But not when we come with a set of, I can't believe this is happening, can't believe that's happening, can't believe, this, blah, 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 blah. No, that just changes everything. The world suddenly is revolving around you. It's not about us. Story about, I experienced this in a very small way. About maybe almost 4 years ago now, I went back to school, taking classes, and I picked this program that was led by this author that I've long admired and respected. His name's Leonard Sweet. And we did the first couple days of classes, not with him, with some other profs. And then on a particular evening, we were all gathering. This is in Portland, Oregon, so you know, in the summers, I'd fly back for a couple weeks. We'd gather, and we met at a hotel because Len was going to come. We were going to introduce everyone, and they're going to walk down to a restaurant. So we're all hanging out. There's 15, 20 of us. And then Len walks in. Everyone's like, there he is. It was like, what's the big deal? It was like an author. Well, this is the guy that was like, I just had a ton of respect for. So totally into it. And everybody's kind of working their way to him, you know, just to be close to him. And then we leave. And so everybody's like, you know, just staying right with him. And I'm realizing the silliness in this. Like, I'm part of this because I want to, you know, be near him and hear everything he says. But I'm like, this is ridiculous. Let me just lay back and just trust that, you know what? I'll have time to interact with him, but we'll do it in God's timing. I'm not going to force the issue. So there was a few others, but the bulk of the people, you know, we're all going like this, you know, around them. So we get to the restaurant, and it looks nothing like this. I just needed a picture of a long table. It was actually Applebee's, right? So it wasn't this at all. But it was a long table, and there was, like I said, about 20 of us. So we were all huddled while they got the table ready, and okay, you guys are ready. Hey, we need half of you just to go down this side. 1, 2, 3, count it off, 10. Great. All right, number 11, you know, just go down this side. So, you know, I'm sitting there in the middle, and people are coming in, and then guess who sits right across from me? Leonard Sweet. And I was like, yes. But then I was like, oh no. And now the pressure's on. Like, what do I say? And what if I ask a dumb question? And like, I'm wanting to ask all these theological ministry-focused questions, but I'm like, you just met the guy. Like, you know, don't kiss on the first date. That's a weird thing to say right there, I realize. But, you know, like, let's just get to know him. And now I wished I was sitting somewhere else, so like, be careful what you wish for. But just the beauty of that is, like, I laid back, and God's like, I got you. I'm going to freak you out later, too, but you're going to have your chance. So Jesus says this to the crowd. Hey, don't. It's not about you. Don't focus on yourself. But then he looks at the host of the party, and he says this. Then Jesus said to the host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. It's logical, right? What's the phrase? Like quid pro quo? Something like that? By the way, you don't care, but quid pro quo? I had to practice saying that like all week. I was like, quid quo? It was a tongue twister for me. Why am I telling you this? Okay, but when you give a banquet, and I love that. First he says, you know, lunch, dinner, a banquet. Right? He's raising the stakes. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So look, you know, for eternity, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be repaid. I know what you're doing. I see that. You're welcoming the pats of this world. They can never do for you what you're doing for them. I got you. It's not going to be now. It's going to be later. But I got you. So Jesus' message to the people, in essence, was stop thinking so highly of yourselves, nudging your way forward to get the right seat. Stop it. Instead, be humble, be grateful, be content. Jesus' message to the host was the same thing. Stop thinking so highly of yourself and what you can get back. You know, I'm going to invite this person because then they'll introduce me to that person who can introduce me to this person and then, you know, blah, 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 blah. No. Let's invite, engage, invest in people who can't do anything for you. Be humble. Be grateful. Be content. And then even so, I just love that last phrase. Although they can't repay you, you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. You know, so basically, when do you want to receive your reward? Now, do you want to receive it now, on earth, limited time span, or later, eternity, endless? The truth is, like this candy, we want both. We want now and later. We want them both, right? I want it now, and I want it later. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And sometimes God does that. But if we had to choose, get the blessing for later, when it'll last for eternity. I want to just tell you this story of there's a universal remedy for pride. You may be familiar with it. It's called life. Right? If you just live life, and your pride will be revealed, and it'll be humbling and embarrassing, and that's just the way it is. But the truth is, in time, our pride, our prejudice, our ill will, it's revealed to others, usually at inopportune times. I've got a story like that, and I actually hate having to tell this story, because it really makes me look bad. But this is who I am. This is what I struggle with. So this is years ago. I've learned a valuable lesson, not to minimize what happened. But this is years ago, serving as a youth pastor. I was in California at this point, and we did an annual trip into Mexico. And it was awesome. We literally had hundreds of kids on this missions trip, and we're impacting hundreds and hundreds of kids. So it was an opportunity for us to share God's love with children and their families. And since all kids enjoy play, this particular trip included numerous opportunities to connect with kids through teaching, through laughter, through spontaneous games of tag, piggyback rides. And as a leader of the trip, I could reasonably excuse myself, kind of lay back from the more active moments, because there was plenty of administrative tasks to be done, to be included. Besides, there's more than enough team members available to play with the kids. Right? How valuable could one extra dose of God's love be? There's plenty of people who could help. But on this particular day, on this particular trip, I was the one who needed that dose of God's love. Truthfully, I did have plenty of administrative tasks to do. It's a big trip. A lot of kids. But that was a cover for the real issue. See, the real issue is that I didn't want to get involved because I didn't want to touch or be touched by the kids because they were dirty. And I'm embarrassed to even share that. And when I was like typing this out, I was crying. Just for acting in such a despicable, godless way. But the truth is, it's really a very normal human response. But God's not calling us to be normal. If He is in us, He is calling us to live abnormal lives for Him. But I can tell you that God used that event and trip in my life to teach me about His love for those children and my dichotomous lifestyle. See, that day I was the one who was dirty and untouchable. It's just that my dirt was easier to hide because it covered my heart. So how does your heart look these days? In what ways have you allowed the dirt, the grime of pride to prevent you from properly receiving others, welcoming others, listening to others, properly viewing others? I want to close with this verse from Romans 15. Apostle Paul instructs us. He says, "Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." Accept one another. Just as Christ accepted you. That's the big idea, right? We're going to receive because we remember. Oh yeah, this is what God has done for me. We're going to love because we are loved by our Heavenly Father. We may not always feel loved by others, but that's not what we're going to focus on.
those, you know, the lack of love from others is limited. That's going to end at some point. God's love, we're going to focus on that because that goes forever. So let me give you some next steps to think through in terms of, so what? Like, what does this mean? How does this apply? Here's some ideas. Is there someone that you need to apologize to today? Maybe for the way you treated them. Is there someone that you need to forgive the way they treated you? Is there someone that you need to invite over for dinner, for, you know, for coffee? What does that look like? Who is that person? Is now the time to maybe serve on a ministry team? To say, hey, I want to be part of helping ensure that people are welcomed and received. Maybe it's time to practice seeing other people the way Jesus sees them. And you see on the screen it says, text. If you want to practice, now my promise is I'm going to do my best to do this. But if you're interested, on the yellow card that Elizabeth mentioned, on the back, right, you know, give me the text or send me the text. Or you can say, hi, Greg, first, whatever, but just send me the text. And then make sure your cell number's on there. And then over the next couple weeks, just at random times, normal hours, right, no 3 a.m.s, but just random times, I'll shoot you a verse or a reminder to, hey, how are you doing right now with, in this moment, the people around you? Are you seeing them the way I see them? Are you seeing yourself the way I see you? Maybe you need to stop trying to be a Christian. Stop trying so hard and surrender your life to Jesus. So I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm going to pray two ways. One, I'm going to just pray for those of us, maybe we've gone to church for a long time, we've said the right things, and kind of everybody assumes I'm a Christian because, you know, I'm here enough times. But the truth is, we're doing it ourselves. We're working really hard to be good, gooder, goodest. But I'm just going to surrender, so I give up. Then I'll say just a prayer for the rest of us who would say, yeah, I'm following Jesus. Boy, it's hard. I mess up a lot, but that's my desire. I'll pray for us. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a reminder like today, first and foremost, of who you are and what you've done for us. And God, there's some of us that just maybe heard it in a fresh way, and today's the day they just want to surrender. They just throw in their hands up and surrender and say, God, I'm through trying to do things my way. Would you lead my life? Would you forgive my sin? Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross for me. Thank you that he rose from the dead. And now I'm praying that he would live in me and empower me to be the person that you want me to be. And if you're a Jesus follower, let's just pray something like this. God, here I am. God, thank you for my church. God, use me to help this be a church that is known for love. Help me be a person that is known for love, that when I'm walking through my dorm, when I'm walking on campus, when I'm walking to the water cooler, when I'm walking through the supermarket, when I'm at the park, when I'm at the gym, wherever I am, I want people to point my way and say, yeah, that person's the real deal. Yeah, they mess up from time to time, but you know what? They bounce back. They really love Jesus. God, that's our prayer. We want to follow you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.